standing this morning, please, as we read the Word of God together. Take our Bible text this morning and do our best to bring the message that the Lord has laid upon our heart for today. Again this morning, I want to ask you to turn to two places, if you would please, in the Word of God as we take our text together here. Brother Hall's trying to find a place here. If you'll turn in 1 Peter chapter number 1, please, if you'll turn there. And then also turn in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. Luke's Gospel in chapter number 4. I want to read in Peter first of all. In verse 1, the Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then again in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4, I want to begin reading in verse number 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, may the Lord add His blessing to that. I will be referring to two other places in the Word of God this morning to try to bring the message the Lord's laid upon my heart. Our Father, I'm so thankful that my heart has been stirred today by the singing, the hymns of faith and the songs of Zion, how they bless and stir my heart. And I want to thank You, Lord, for Your divine presence in this place today. Thank You for Your people that are here and their faithfulness to the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of preaching over the airwaves to others that may be listening as well. Thank You, Lord, for calling me to preach. And I pray now that You'd anoint me with that special touch of God. And, Lord, that You'd grant today the liberty that's needed to express what You've laid upon my heart. I pray the Spirit of God would take every word, anoint it, I pray, to the hearts of people, that, Lord, it may be productive, that it might be fruitful in their heart and life to bring blessing and glory and honor to them and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for power now and help and liberty. I pray You'll grant it, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. As you know, I've been preaching, or I've preached two or three times out of 1 Peter chapter number 1, simply on the name of Peter. And I've been trying to introduce the book of 1 Peter to you in a way that I thought would be somewhat beneficial. And I felt like it would be interesting for us to know a little bit about the man that is the author of that particular book. You know, I think it would do a church well to know a little bit about the man that they call to preach to them. It's always good to know about someone that you're putting faith and confidence in that they'll get the job done. And it's good to know about Brother Peter and his writings and the fact that we can have confidence in them that God used him. Not only to write those writings, but the Lord used him in a marvelous way in the four Gospels as well. I want to reiterate something. If you stroll through the four Gospels, there's a great deal there that we would seem that would seem to be contrary to Brother Peter. I mean, you can look at the times that Peter got up really in Jesus' face about some things. He got a little overheated. There were some times that he was a little impulsive about some things. Some times that Brother Peter seemed to brag about himself a little more than he did, esteeming his brother more highly than him. And there's many things there that would appear to be contrary to Brother Peter being used by the Lord. But I want to remind you that God says that many of those things that we see on the outside are really characteristics of a great virtue that is on the inside of a man, that once that man is aged and matured somewhat, that the Lord is able to use in a great and a mighty way. I don't know how many folks in here this morning would like to be used of the Lord, but I'll tell you, there's nothing like allowing God to take your heart and life and make you a blessing to somebody else, or placing you in the service of God, or promoting you in the service of God to a position or a place beyond that which you already occupy. And I want to continue our thinking today and preach to you for a little while on this thought: Peter learns some lessons. I wonder how many of us in here this morning would be honest. Now, don't raise your hand. Just be honest and say, Brother Hall, there are numerous spiritual lessons that I'd like to learn. Well, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we got to learn them the hard way. And sometimes we can learn them the easy way. And I have found that Brother Peter learned them both in the hard way, and he learned them in the easy way as well. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. As I preach this morning, I want us to recognize the influence that Jesus had on the life of Simon Peter. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, that you cannot be around the Lord without being influenced by the Lord. I learned this a long time ago. That people are, as a rule, influenced by someone that has a stronger personality or a stronger character than what they have. And say that would make them followers of someone that is a leader. But I say in all honesty that you'll never learn to be a leader unless you learn to be a follower. And Christ began to teach Brother Peter how to be a follower in spiritual matters in order that later on he might make him a leader in spiritual matters. And so I want us to concentrate this morning or recognize that influence that our Lord had upon the life of Peter. For 3.5 years, Peter followed the life of Christ very closely. Every miracle that the Lord performed, every kind word that was spoken, and every gentle rebuke became a valuable lesson that Peter could use later on in his life. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if we will be somewhat observative, and if we will have a real perception or try to have a real perception of spiritual things, it would amaze you at what we can learn about the Lord and about the Word of God from those very things that I mentioned just now. There's miracles that happen around here almost every day, and I think we just overlook them, stumble over them, and think, well, it's just something else taking place. But I'm telling you, when I look at the checkbook that we have now, and look back over the financial statements that we have in years past, I wonder in my own heart and mind, how on earth are we still here, and how are we maintaining the ministry? And there's only one answer for that, and that is that God has had His hand upon the ministry of this church, and God will continue to put His hand upon the ministry of this church and work miracles in our lives. If we will learn lessons and follow God, God will continue to bless us in that way. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that some of you are here. It's a miracle that some of you are still here. My own son-in-law testified the other night that he wanted to leave a number of times and God wouldn't let him. I'm simply saying it's a miracle, those of you that are here and what God is doing. But not only in those miracles, but what about in those kind words that the Lord has spoken? Somebody said, "Preacher, I ain't heard you speak too many kind words." I didn't say me, I said the Lord, amen. And I'm telling you, I've heard Him speak a lot of kind words. What about peace be still? I'm telling you, every time you come in contact with the Lord, and every time God works in your life in some way or another, it should influence our life as we experience what He's done, and that influence that He has in our life or to teach us some things and help us to learn some things that God can use and we can use later in our life if we'll learn the lesson. That's right. Now what about them gentle rebukes? What about those stern rebukes? I'm going to tell you, Peter was rebuked very sternly by our Lord. Peter said, "Oh, be that far from you, Lord." The Lord turned and said, "Get behind me, Satan." I'm going to tell you, that wasn't a gentle rebuke, ladies and gentlemen. That was a stern rebuke. Somebody said, "Do you have Bible for that?" Absolutely. Rebuke a wise man and he will learn, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir, you better believe it. And I'm telling you, the rebukes that came in the life of Peter taught him, ladies and gentlemen, to humble himself and submit himself under the authority of God and learn to become obedient to what that Bible's got to say. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, you rebuke them, they'll swell up like a toad. Their feathers will raise up like an old setting hen that's been disturbed on her nest. And they'll show their teeth like a biting sow that's gotten mad because you're fooling with her little piglets. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm going to tell you, is there a wise man among us? Peter must have been a wise man because he took the rebukes God gave him and he listened to the words of tenderness and he observed the miracles and he wound up writing 2 books in the Bible, preaching to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost and being a pillar in the house of God at Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen. He turned out to be a great man and a great man of God and a great Christian because of the influence that Christ had on his life during those special times when God did things just like here in our text this morning. Is anybody listening to me? I hope so. I hope so. These things become valuable lessons that Peter could use later in life. Get a hold of this. By their continual fellowship, Jesus was able to constantly influence the life of Peter. And from that influence, Peter became a gracious man of God, a strong Christian, and a man who was able to influence others also. Now, for 3.5 years, Brother Peter lived with our Lord. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, they stayed in constant and consistent fellowship with one another. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what are you saying?" I'm saying if you want to learn lessons, you're going to first of all have to learn how to fellowship with the Lord. There is going to have to be time taken out of your schedule somewhere to get along with God, amen, and fellowship with Him. By the way, He is a person just like you are. Somebody said, "Well, I can't see Him. I thought you had eyes of faith." Ladies and gentlemen, that would open up your spiritual understanding where you wouldn't see a 900-foot Jesus, but you would recognize a Lord that dwells in your bosom who is also sitting on a throne in heaven, and recognizing Him and fellowshipping Him can influence your life for the glory of God. There's not many people, I'm telling you, there's not many folks that fellowship with Him. Now, I'm not talking about reading 2 chapters a day in your Bible. I'm not talking about praying 5 seconds a day and reading 3 chapters in your Bible. I'm talking about sitting down and fellowshipping with the Lord. And that fellowship includes praise and worship. And I know we're not doing either one of those because we never do it at church. You get a, hey, I'll guarantee you get in that closet of prayer in that holy place, nobody around but you and the Lord, in a time of fellowship with Him, and you're praising Him and worshiping Him, come on down to the house of God and see what it does for you down at the church out. It'll break out on you at the house of God like measles, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot hide what the Lord, I'm telling you, I'm about to go right now. You cannot hide what God has done for you in your life. I'm telling you, you cannot help. Ask for testimonies and nobody's got one. Has God not met with you lately? Have you not fellowshiped with Him lately? Have you not worshiped Him lately? Have you not praised Him lately? Have you not talked to Him lately? Hallelujah. I'm talking about He had 3.5 years of constant fellowship. Somebody said, I've got other things to do. You better say, they're not as important as what He is.
Amen.
Come on in the house.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about fellowshipping with Him. Hey, may I say that every personal experience that we have with Jesus and every manifestation of His grace and work in our midst should, ladies and gentlemen, should teach us something and make a lasting impression upon our life.
Amen.
That's right. I'm telling you things that's went on back there in that little room.
Amen.
I'm talking about they have made a lasting impression upon my life.
Amen.
Things that's went on out in this auditorium has made a lasting impression upon my life. I'll never forget the time that I opened that door when Brother Thompson, Brother Messick was in that room preaching. All I heard was somebody grumbling. I couldn't just groan and I couldn't even tell what they were saying. I didn't know who it was. And I scratched my head and I said, who's in my office? So I just cracked the door and looked in the office and saw those men praying. And immediately the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. And the Holy Ghost said, God's in that room. And I said, I dare not disturb him. I'll close the door. And the Holy Ghost said, open the door. I'm big enough to fill the whole building.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I opened that door and it wasn't long until Brother Thompson, Brother Messick was out here in the auditorium. And when I came to myself, Brother Doug and I were both on this platform, twirling on one leg and praising God, and that youngest daughter of Brother Thompson's headed down that hallway back to where her mother was, hollering, Mama, 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 Daddy is drunk on God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, hey, that has made a lasting impression upon my life. The times that some of you, I'll never forget the time when Brother Mark back there was looking for a job. And it seemed like every service, he'd get up, well, somebody called me for another job. Next week somebody called me for another job. He had so many jobs offered to him, he couldn't handle them all. That made a lasting impression. I said, what kind of an impression? I'm telling you that God will supply for us, and God will provide for us, and God will bless us, and God will open the right doors for us. Today, some of the days your children have been saved. It's the time some of you have been saved. The day Patty got saved made a lasting impression upon my life. God showed me that He can save a sinner in the midst of anything. Now, pardon the expression, but all Hades had broke loose in here. I mean, it sounded like World War III. They is a voting them in and voting them out. And some of them wanted to run me out and some of them wanted to run me in. Thank God, by the grace of God, I stayed. And in the midst of it all, Patty got on the altar that morning, got born again by the grace of God, while there was a church fight going on. I've never heard of it anywhere else in my life. Somebody said, what's that tell you, preacher? Oh, that tells me that when God gets ready to do a spiritual work, well, I tell you, there is no power that can stay the power of God, and there's no hand that can stay the hand of God. We serve an omnipotent God today that is able to accomplish His will against all the forces of evil and all the imps of hell that can raise up. Hallelujah. That has made a lasting impression on me. The night Ricky Vincent got saved and jumped in that baptistry and said, I want to be baptized. I said, there's no water. He said, I'll just stay in here and fill it up and baptize me. I said, it's cold. He said, don't matter, fill it up. That's made a lasting impression on my life. Ladies and gentlemen, does none of these things, has none of these things impressed you at all? Have they not influenced you for Christ at all? Oh, what about the times God has spoken to you in the secret place? Just a little short verse that touched your heart and you know that the Lord was doing it. What about the time that you were in the valley, maybe driving the highway, and you turned on the station and just at the right time, somebody played just the right song that done something in your heart. And so we just fall over that and stumble over that as if it just happened. Oh no, it didn't just happen. It was a divine work of God and it ought to leave a lasting impression on your life. I'll never forget the two times that Brother Shelby, I met him at those two funerals. And both times, I said, Ernest T., 1105, right down Ryland Ford Road. And on that one Sunday morning, he come walking through the front door. That tells me, are you listening? That tells me that you don't have to be a great soul winner to witness and get people in church. What an impression God made on my life. If you'll just speak to somebody and tell, just let them know that you're interested in their life and where they're going to spend eternity. Many times God can take little things and little nuggets, hallelujah, 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 little things and do great things with them. Amen. Ooh, I don't know if I can do that again or not. Might try, though. We're influenced. Now, I want you to listen. We're influenced primarily by two things. Our experiences with Christ and Christ's expressions to us. Somebody said, now the experiences I'm going to preach on. The expressions I ain't going to get to. I don't have them. But what about... Somebody said, what do you mean expressions? What about that time when Peter said, oh, I don't know him. Oh, I don't know him. And then the third time, Peter, like most preachers, well, bless him. I said I don't know him. Just an expression. Just a look. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I'm telling you, just an expression from the face made a lasting impression on that man's life. You better believe it did. And you'll never look well into the face of Christ. Oh, you'll never look well into the face of that Bible without that Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It's like the look on Christ's face. It's got expressions in there and it's got experiences in there that will change your life every time you look into it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm telling you, reading that Bible can change your life and you won't even know it's being changed. Here a little, there a little, line up on line. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Read it anyway. Here a little, there a little. You cannot look into the face of God. Somebody said, that's a book. Oh, but that's God's book. And that's God's word. That's God talking to me.
Amen.
Come on, God. Come on now. God talking to you in that book.
Amen.
Every time you open it up, you're looking right into the face of God Almighty.
Amen.
He wouldn't say no more right now. Get this now. He would not say no more right now if he showed up right now than what he's already said in that book. Because it's not time to say anything different.
Right.
Oh, if we just had him here. You've got him and won't fellowship with him.
Amen.
You've got him and won't listen to a word he says.
Amen.
You've got him and won't let him influence your life.
Amen.
Some of you, come on now, some of you have had real experiences with God, and how much have those experiences changed your life? Simon, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon, a fisherman. Simon, a God denier. Simon, a big mouth. Simon, a blowhard. An apostle of Christ. Oh, but Brother Hall, that's different. What's different about it? I'm telling you, there's some of you in here that God wants to use some way. Amen. Instead of sitting on our blessed tail ends. And every time God influences your life,
Amen.
It ought to leave a lasting expression. Now notice carefully. I'm about to get through the introduction. When we're influenced primarily by two things, experiences and Christ expressions, and experiences and expressions make lasting impressions. Experiences and expressions make lasting impressions on your life. Now, three things with a few sub things, and we're out of here. What did Peter experience? I couldn't begin to go over all of it. Not in one setting. But I've got three that I want to mention this morning. Number one, he experienced Jesus' power in the home. Right here. Somebody said, don't get on the home. That's where I'm going. And by the way, he walked right out of the house of God and went right home. Brother, hey, went right into Simon's house, and there lay Simon's wife's mother, sick of a fever, and apparently she was sick before Peter left, and Peter had absolutely no power, had no way to help that woman, and there she lays with a fever nigh unto death. But when Jesus walked into there, they besought him that he'd help her, is what our text is, and Jesus stood over her. Woo! I'm glad one day, thank God, Jesus stood over me. I'm telling you, he's big enough to stand over us today. By the way, he is standing over every one of us today. Hallelujah to God. And he's looking on at the situation that's going on in this place today. Standing over you, standing over your home. Now I want you to listen carefully. My text says, and he arose out of the synagogue, entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. They besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. I want to stop right there for just a minute. It amazes me of all of the work that Christ done. His first miracle was at Cana in a marriage. Now we find him in the home of Simon Peter. That tells me that God Almighty definitely wants to work in your marriage and your home and have a power in that home that will set your home in order and make your home and your marriage life function gloriously for him.
Amen.
Anybody listening to me?
Yeah.
Hope I ain't preaching to a dead crowd. Rise up and shout. Somebody say amen on me. Now listen carefully. Now I want you to get this. And I won't say this in as much love as I can, okay?
Amen.
This home had an internal problem.
Amen.
Something wrong inside. Didn't show up outside. Something wrong inside. To start with, Simon's wife's mother was inside. The home tells me there was an internal problem in that home. But I can go one better for you than that. Fever. A fever. She had a fever that usually has its origin from an internal disease or infection. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. And there's old brother Peter in his own house, and Jesus never said a word. He just rebuked that fever and raised that woman up. What an influence on Peter's life to know that God's got power, ladies and gentlemen, over the home today. That He can work in your home. He can work in your marriage. He can work in your family and heal it. He healed her. He can heal yours. Now stay tuned. Just stay right with me. A disease or an infection. Ain't any homes in here this morning got a little disease in them, are they? Raising a fever. Got an infection, raising a fever in there this morning. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're crazy." Oh, no. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. With fever, one may briefly be chilled. That fever sets on, the first thing a man's going to do or a woman's going to start shaking, they're cold. What I'm saying is, buddy, this home had an internal problem, and the first problem they had, they were called toward God. Come on in the house. I'm here to tell you I've never seen so much calloused hearts and coldness in all my life. It seems like nothing spiritual touches our hearts anymore that tells me that we're cold and indifferent within our hearts. Our homes have got an internal problem. They're colder than an ice cube. Husbands and wives are fighting and a fussing and a cussing and they carry it on. Children won't mind anymore when we bring them to church and make pretend like they do. And I'm not talking about these little ones that fuss. I'm talking about the bigger ones, bless the Lord, that know better. We can't handle them, can't control them. But it's in the mind. Hey, cold! Problems right there in the home. Cold. Now get a hold of this. The second thing I recognize about fever is that fever is that it intensifies the body, and when it intensifies, the body overheats. Don't nobody back out of here on me now. It's got real quiet. Praise God, that'll be all right. But I'm telling you, when a home gets cold and indifferent, and Christ is not in the midst of that home to warm that home and bless and help that home, that chilled heart, that cold heart on God, come on in the house, it will begin to lead to what? Body overheating. Rawr! Rawr! Ain't had none of that lately, have we? Ain't had no honeydew growls going on. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, for this is right in the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, friend, when homes get cold, when you stop reading your Bible and stop praying together and stop family altar together, mark her down, your home's going to get cold. And the next step after cold is overheating. I'm talking about arguing like cats and dogs at one another. Amen. Then your children hear that. Amen. And we wonder what's wrong with our young people. Amen. They've probably heard enough from mom and daddy to make him puke. Amen. And we having fun. Somebody said, "Hurry up, Bridget." Amen. Anybody ever had a real high fever? What's something else that goes with it? Pain! You ever had a flu fever? Pain! Now I'm telling you, when a home gets cold and it leads to overheating, mark her down. Pain is the next thing in order. Amen. You can't fuss and you can't gripe and you can't argue with one another without it causing pain in somebody's heart. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, it'll break a heart. It'll pain a heart. It'll grieve a heart. I'm telling you, if I was a man and I'd had a little fuss with my wife, I'd never leave that home. I'd never go to work until I got right back with that wife and made things right with that little woman. If I was that woman had a problem, I'd never let my husband walk out of the house or walk away with me without apologizing and making that thing right for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Cause more pain. Cause more pain we can handle. Pain in some of your children. Thank you. Better think of them before you put on the boxing gloves. Better think of them before you show your ignorance.
Amen.
Better think of them, Daddy, before you show everybody in the house that, bless God, I'm the man around here.
Amen. Yeah, bless your heart, praise God, you ain't got it right over me.
Amen.
Are y'all listening?
Amen.
First place he went to was the home. What an impression. There is a home that's got internal problems and they can't fix them. Now I'm telling you, your internal problems that's inside your heart cannot be fixed by you. Jesus visited that home because they knew there was an internal problem. And look here, he done nothing in that home until they asked him to do something in that home. Read it. They ask him to help them. God do nothing in your home till you ask him. And before you ask, you're going to have to realize the problem's there. Anybody getting any help? You know what comes after pain? Or with pain? Anybody ever had a fever? And it got so high, it got you down in the bed and you couldn't get up? That fever will put you down! Yeah, have you heard this? Pray for so-and-so, they're down. I'm telling you, the first sign of an internal problem is a chill, then overheating, then pain, and then down, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you in here this morning, be honest with Brother Hall, is just bubbling over and praise God, you couldn't wait to get to church, and in fact, you can't wait to get home so you can give your wife a big kiss and have a big meal, and you can't wait to say something sweet and lovely to one another. How many of you in here this morning just bubbling over because your home is just filled up and exuberating with the good love of God that's been shed abroad there? You only no help till you ask. You don't have to ask. How many of you this morning are down? Preacher, I'm just kind of tired of dragging into church. If things was right back there, things would be better here. Hallelujah. And I want to say something right here to all of you. I know that sometimes husbands and wives and husbands and or do things that are stupid. Somebody said, when they're younger. Some of them do it when they're older. But especially when they're younger. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know there? I would take off my shirt, but I like to wear a long sleeve shirt. And I would take this white one off and show you I've got a t-shirt under there. That says Gary L. Hall was dumb when he was young. In fact, he was stupid. In fact, he done all kind of dumb things. But when I became a man, put away childish things. I'm telling you, young people, we're going to make foolish mistakes. But I want to say to every young person in here, that's got yourself in a problem somewhere, every young family that's in here, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the end of the world. I wonder if Simon's wife may have been standing over her mother and maybe stayed home from church and didn't go to the synagogue with Peter and said, "Well, time's up. Mama's done. Boy, my home is ruined. Mama's dead, going to die. My home is ruined. But just in time, on time, every time, Jesus comes walking through the door."
Amen.
And they say, "Will you help her?" And I'm sure he said in the back of his mind, "What do you think I'm doing here?" Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, your home can't get so far down the tube, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus can't come in and put a little honey back in the honeymoon.
Man,
hallelujah to God. I'm going away with my sweetheart next Sunday afternoon. I don't mind telling you, I'm going to kiss her 2 or 3 times. Smack dab on the lips. And we're going to eat dinner together a couple times. And we're going to sit and look at each other and make Google eyes. You can make it work. I'm telling you, you can make it work, ladies and gentlemen. Marriage is a wonderful thing, and the home is a wonderful place. Thank God. Hey, aren't you glad that in that text, Christ magnifies two things, the house of God and the home, just back to back. What a God. Now, I'll tell you something else the fever will do to you. It'll kill you. It can cause death. And if the fever that's in your home is not treated, it could bring death. Then a lot of people die. I had a temperature so high one time, I don't know where I was at, what I was doing. When I kind of come to myself, I was in a little Quonset hut in South Vietnam, Quy Nhon, South Vietnam, and there's a dumping alcohol on me and washing me with alcohol rags and throwing water on me right in the bed, just a dousing in the ice and one thing or another. And I kind of rolled around and looked up, and there's a second lieutenant, a woman nurse, and another fellow, and a fellow standing there, and suddenly they was rubbing me with alcohol, and I was coming around, and things was a blur, and I thought, "Lord, I didn't even know where I was at. What was going on?" I'm talking about I was nigh on death. I had that bug you get from that mosquito called malaria, and I thought it's all over. I'm telling you, a fever, ladies and gentlemen. I started with chills. That's how Sonny Doc Kenny knew I was sick. He said, "Hall, I'm going to take your temperature." But it wasn't long till I overheated. And I'm telling you, it wasn't long till my joints and my back and my legs and began to have pain. And they got me down on that bed where I could not get up out of it, ladies and gentlemen. And I was nigh to death and would have died if that woman doctor hadn't walked by me just in time. When I started rolling around and coming out of it, I heard that lady say, "My God, who is supposed to be watching this soldier? Are you listening?" And then when I got the fever down enough to where I could communicate, that lady doctor looked at me, that woman, she said, "Corporal, how long has it been since you've had a bath?" I said, "Ma'am, I've been out in the woods, ain't." She said, "I could tell when we was putting that alcohol." She said, "We was rolling some pretty mean stuff up off your back." I said, "Ma'am, I apologize for that, but there wasn't much water out there, and what I had, I wanted to drink." She said, "How would you like to get a good hot shower when you get feeling better?" I said, "A hot shower? A shower and a hot shower? Woo, we so good now." When that fever broke, hey, listen now, I'm going somewhere. When that fever broke and everything was made well, I got well internally. That doctor, I didn't have to go to her. She came to me and she said, "Corporal, you ready to go get that shower?" I said, "Ma'am, where am I going to get a hot shower?" She said, "At the officer's shower." I said, "That's for officers." She said, "Got her under cover, control." That woman took me to the officer's shower and stood outside, wouldn't let another soul in there while I stood in there in that hot water. Ah. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying when the fever breaks, God
raises you up. Buddy, there's a blessing. God will always send a blessing right behind it on your trail every time.
Hallelujah. Now I want to ask you, do you think Peter learned that lesson? Do you think that that power that he saw in that home, do you think that influence in that home, do you think he learned a lesson? Well, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Yep. I say that the experience left an impression that taught a lesson that was never forgotten. Now, I've preached to you this morning. I've got two more points I'm not going to preach. I'm going to preach them tonight. I was going to preach tonight on the apostleship of Peter. I'll preach that when I come back from vacation. But I'm going to finish these other two points up tonight. I'm going to let you out of here early today, believe it or not. Because I think that's what, I think God wants me to cut it off right here. What about your home? Now I want to show you something. Do you know what lesson he learned there? Listen carefully. That God can set the home in order. Love, submission, and obedience. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is never going to break the hearts of some of these young folks in here and get them saved until, Daddy, you break their hind end. They ain't going to respect authority. They ain't going to respect your authority. They're not. I'm talking about, somebody said, you're off the base. No, I'm not. I'm talking about Peter learned the order of the home. Set that home in order. Somebody said, how do you know it was in order? Because when that woman, the first thing she does, got up and began to minister to them. That tells me that everything was all right. Amen. Somebody said, well, my children's a little big to spank. Well, how old was you, Janet, Benjamin, the last time I put a plank on you, bud?
16.
15 or
16.
Probably 16. Right here in this school, I believe. Did it hurt you? I'm not talking about at the time it was meant to hurt then. I'm talking about now. What was it for? Oh, come on. Yeah, you do. I'm going to tell you, whatever it was, he didn't do it again. He learned his lesson. What a lesson to learn, that Christ has power in the home.
Amen.
He does. Got two more points. I'm going to cover them tonight by the grace of God. Let's stand together. And I will say this. I don't think that people in here are necessarily just negligent on the home and letting the home fall apart. I don't want you to misunderstand, Brother Hall. I believe that many of you are trying to make that home what it ought to be. And it shows. It does show. In the midst of our troubles, it shows that you are trying. And I can't ask no more out of you than that. I can't ask no more out of you than that. That's all. Now I want to say something right here. Somebody said, well, all of mine's grown and gone. Well, I still think that part of the home can very well be tied up in those grandchildren not being parents, but influence. Let me ask you something, Grandma and Grandpa. When little Johnny and little Susie comes over to your house to spend the night, or to spend the day, or for you to babysit with them, let me ask you something. What kind of influence are they getting? What kind of an impression do you make on them? Well, my grandma watches television all day, drinks iced tea, and smokes cigarettes. Well, that's a real good impression to make on little Johnny. Well, my grandma sits around all day and never cooks, never cleans the house. That's a real good impression to make on little Johnny. My grandma lets out little curse words every now and then. Real good impression to make on little Johnny. Now, I'm telling you, folks, there are some impressions, there are some experiences that are make lasting impressions. They'll never leave. Now, I hate to say this to you. My year and 13 days in Vietnam has made a lasting impression upon my life. There's times to me that it all comes back. And there's times that I've got to quench the hatred that is in my heart. There's other times I find a real hard time doing that. Lasting impression. It's not easy to see a friend die and then put your arms around the neck and kiss the ones that did it. And it's not easy for you and I as Christians to see people that have wounded us or gravely wounded us, put our arms around them and tell them we love them. People that have left this church and former pastors, and probably me too to some degree, have left lasting impressions upon this community. A lot of them are bad impressions. I talked to a preacher the other day. I remember who it was. I'll tell you who it was. He didn't say nothing about it. I can't remember who it was. But he said, this church has got a bad name in this community. He said, I don't think we'll ever live it down. Don't think we'll ever live it down. Because a preacher was here that left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And I'm telling you, churches, that all they want to do is fuss and argue. If you think they're going to make a good impression on the community to see people saved. So I'm just telling you, if you've got fighting and arguing on your mind, you're in the wrong place. If you've got hatred in your heart towards somebody, you're in the wrong. I can honestly say with my hand before the Lord, I know no personal individual that I hate. And I don't know a man or a woman that if I met them on the sidewalk today, I could not smile with a good conscience and shake their hand and tell them I love them. I'm talking about making lasting impressions. Things that have influenced our life. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the morning. Help us, I pray, as we sing the invitation. May hearts be moved in Jesus' name. Amen. What's that page number, Brother George? 337 in your hymn book. 337.